prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your life. I thank you for your truth. Lord, just speak through me today, and I thank you for speaking to me. And Lord, just let your voice be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. So, good morning. Last couple of months in our house have been exhausting and challenging, but God has seen us through. Jackson graduated from college last week, which is great. Holden's finished his freshman year at UC, which is great. Sam is about done with his freshman year of high school, which is great. Parker has another year under his belt working for Wright State, so that's great. And he's glad because the students will all be gone, so then he won't have to mess with any of them for all summer, so that's great. Joe's still wonderful, despite nagging knee pain. And I'm doing fine. I thank God for his faithfulness. I thank him for his strength. When I was kind of asking God what he wanted me to talk to you about today, or what he wanted to talk to you about, he took me back to my favorite story from the Bible when I was a kid. And that was the story of Samson. And, you know, when I think about Samson, you know, I'm assuming everyone here has heard the story of Samson at least once in your life, and you kind of have an idea who he is. But when I think about Samson now, in my mind, I kind of get this picture of, you know, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, with longer hair. And, you know, when I was a kid, we had this collection of Bible stories, these little books, and this is the book. Came from that back room back there. We had the same book at my house. It's called Samson's Secret. And as a young boy, I looked at this book, I can't tell you how many times. It kind of gave me, you know, Samson's story, but in the kid form. Because in Judges, we learned that Samson was the last of the judges. Okay? And he was quite different than the other judges that came before him. He didn't lead an army. You could say he was a one-man wrecking crew. And it was him and God who fought against the Philistines. So he accomplished some pretty amazing things through faith. But he also broke a few commandments along the way. And his Nazirite vow, which was given to him by an angel, he broke that also. Now, the Nazirite vow was usually a voluntary vow. You took it because you wanted to or felt led to. And it had a limited time that you were supposed to keep this vow. Okay? But Samson was born into it, and it was supposed to last until the time of his death. Now, the three parts of this vow that were on Samson's life were this. He wasn't to drink wine or any strong drink or eat fruit from the vine. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair, and he was supposed to have no contact with the dead. That were the three parts of it. So, if you want to turn to Judges 13, you can. We're going to start there, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to read you some, and because I feel like I'm supposed to, and I'm going to stop where I feel like I'm supposed to, and we're going to go on. Okay. So, Judges 13, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. it says, "Again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years." So that sets the scene here. The children of Israel were doing evil, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to turn you over to the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful to not drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.'" So that's the first place I'm going to stop for a second. So in 13:5, it tells us important news. This kid that's going to be born, he's going to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay? All right, let's keep going. "So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. But the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded, let her observe.' Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' Manoah didn't need to give credit to the angel. He needed to give credit to God. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wonderful thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened, as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We surely shall die, because we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time.' So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson." So I'm going to stop right there for a second. And the name Samson, if you kind of look at it, his name means son. It means son child. It means sunlight. It means to be brilliant. Okay? So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahana Dan, between Zora and Estol. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. The Spirit, in 1325, it says, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. My study Bible said something interesting. It said, this right here is telling us that the Spirit of the Lord was pushing Samson towards the work that God wanted him to do, starting at that point. Because God will do that in our lives, won't he? He'll start to push us to the direction and lead us in the direction that he wants us to go and that he needs us to go so that the things can be accomplished that he wants to accomplish. Okay? So now into 14. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he goes down and he sees a daughter of basically his people's enemies. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Remember Goliath was a Philistine? Yeah. Says, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. Sometimes things start to happen and we start to think, well, this is not of the Lord, because it definitely doesn't go along with the way we want things to go or our plan. And he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. So God had a plan. He was seeking to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Now, I got to stop for a second. I was at the zoo one time years ago with the kids. They were little. Some of them were in strollers. We were up by a bathroom, up kind of high. Down here where was the lion exhibit at the zoo. And I heard this sound that shook my whole body and was shaking the blacktop under my feet. And it was a lion roaring down there to my right. So, you know, you don't get much chance in life to actually hear a lion roar in its presence, but it's an awesome, scary thing, because it really was. So it says, now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. 14:6. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. You know, God had given Samson strength. But when this is said, a great feat of strength is about ready to happen. One you couldn't accomplish without God's help. Okay. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. All right, let me think here, where am I at? Okay. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, right there in 14, 8 to 9, he broke vow one of his vow. Wasn't supposed to have anything to do with dead bodies. And he just got honey out of the carcass of a dead lion that he had killed. Okay? Yeah. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Okay? So right there in 14:10, the Hebrew word translated feast there kind of means to drink. So that would be vow number two that's been broken. Okay? Now let's keep going. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. And he said to him, and they said to him, pose your riddle, that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother. So should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. So for 7 days of this party for their marriage, she's crying and mad at him. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if thou had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. So in other words, if you hadn't pressed my wife for the answer, you would have never gotten the answer to this riddle. And then in 19 it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Well, we know it's getting ready to happen. Something's getting ready to happen that is beyond his strength. And he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, their clothes, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. So in 14:19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. I know one man killing 30 happens a lot in action movies, but it's not really that easy to be done. And I can tell you that Samson wouldn't have accomplished it without God's help. Okay. So let's go on to 15. After a while, in the time of wheat and harvest, it happened that Samson visited. Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go into my wife into her room. And her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Now, I've seen a fox twice in my life. Once I turned around in a parking lot, and as my headlights went across the parking lot, there was one running across the parking lot, and I saw one other one. And they're pretty quick. So he caught 300 foxes. And he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, "Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease." So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Now, I looked at that hip and thigh, and they said they're not really sure exactly what that meant other than like hand-to-hand combat, kind of a wrestling kind of a thing. They're not really sure what that term is supposed to mean. But where it says, let's see, where is it now? So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. They said there where it says with a great slaughter, that kind of means that he tore them apart. But he didn't just kill them, he tore them apart. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" So they answered, "We have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock to Edom and said to Samson, they sent 3,000 of them to go talk to Samson. His own people sent 3,000 to go down and talk to him. I'd say the things that he had done had been talked about much by the people in his own town. It says, "Do you not know the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us?" they said. They didn't really understand God's plan yet either. It wasn't so clear to see what God's plan was, but he had a plan. And he said to them, "As they did to me, so have I done to them." But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." They're like, "Oh, yeah, okay, we'll promise that." I'm sure they were like, "Oh." So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. So you can imagine, after he's done what he did to these men of theirs, and here he comes tied up in some ropes, and these guys are ready to absolutely destroy him, right? Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Okay, so something's about ready to happen. If you know this story, you know that him killing 30 men is just a drop in the bucket about what's getting ready to happen. It says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire." So like rope, straw, whatever. "And his bonds broke loose from his hands." So he broke the two new ropes like they were nothing. "He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it." 1,000 men's a lot of men. That would probably take a little while, even if you're watching an action movie. And then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was that when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramath-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. Now, I don't know if I was just tired last night, but when I read that, I kind of almost laughed. It's like, killed 1,000 men, now he's thirsty. I would imagine killing 1,000 men would make a person thirsty. And you know what? God provides his refreshment, doesn't he? So he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called its name En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Okay, we're getting close to the end. I know I've read quite a bit, but so we're going on to chapter 16. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. So here's a case where he's breaking a commandment. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. And I read somewhere that that was a pretty far walk, they said, from there to where he supposedly would have taken that to. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. So there's guys in the room hiding, waiting to get him. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of your loom. So she wove it tightly into the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out his hair from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. So she was about to drive him crazy. that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like other men, any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. So in 1619, he just got his head shaved. That's vow number 3 that's been broken. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. He was put grinding grain with a big stone wheel. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened, when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. So I'm going to pause right there for just a second. And in this Bible, it says perform for them. And in the regular King James, it says that so that he can make sport for us. And if you look that up, it means so they can see the anger and the sorrow on his face. They wanted to see his misery. They were enjoying that. It says, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the peoples who were in it. So the dead that were killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol, and in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel for 20 years. Now, you know, I was thinking about some of this, and when it says that his hair began to grow back as his eyes had been put out and he was put to work grinding. So as he's pushing his big grindstone around, in the natural, physically, he still would have probably been pretty strong, you know. And his hair began to grow back. But Samson's strength didn't come from the actual hair that was on his head. It came from the vow that he had made, or that he was born into. It was his commitment to God. That's where his strength came from. Now, I love this story when I was a little boy for boyish reasons. It was about a strong man You can see him right here on the cover. He's got big muscles, nice head of hair, beard. He'd bust ropes off of his hands. He carried big gates of the city up onto a hill. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He killed thousands of men with the jaw of a donkey. As a kid, I thought that was pretty cool. Now, as a grown man, who I have to say, God's blessed me with the strength to make it through some pretty tough situations at times over the years. And I'm thankful that God has been forgiving of my failures and my shortcomings. And He's allowed the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily on me and have the strength to make it through when I couldn't have on my own. I love this story now as a man for mature reasons. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, He created you, created me. He breathed the breath of life into us. He created us for a purpose, and He'll give you the strength to accomplish it. Superhuman strength if necessary. So I want to thank God that He uses the imperfect to fulfill His perfect will. That's all I got for you. So I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank You for this story that as a boy made me somewhat interested in and what You were about. And then, Lord, I want to thank You for this story now as a grown man who sees more about what this story is really about. This story will be around forever, and I pray that it inspires little ones, young ones, to want to know more about this God. And as You do what You do, and You're there for them as they grow and they go through things, that they'll begin to appreciate it on a different level. So, Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for Your strength, for the everyday things, and for the things that need superhuman strength, Lord. You are the super that enters into these humans to be able to do that. So, Lord, I just thank You for that. So, Lord, I just ask You to bless all my brothers and sisters here. I ask You to bless the food in the back and our fellowship. And we just love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.